In a fast-changing economic environment, HSBC's global network and local expertise leads the way in helping businesses meet their growth potential by connecting our customers to opportunities the world over. HSBC is on the ground in 71 countries and territories. Trade is in our DNA. To register for our next webinar, Forging Ahead, Global Trends for 2017 and Beyond, search online for HSBC Webinar or click the banner on your screen. HSBC, where ambition connects with opportunity.
The road ahead for stocks and the economy. We'll talk with Point View's David Dietz.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Stocks jumped to record highs following Donald Trump's surprising election as president. But what should investors expect under President Trump? David Dietz, founder, president, and chief investment strategist at Point View Wealth Management, says investor hopes are high that Trump will bring prosperity. David, what is your outlook for the markets at this point?
Well, we are actually now cautious through the end of the year following the best week on Wall Street last week in about 5 years and some pretty good strength today. Many of the sectors that we like best recorded double-digit gains. So that coupled with the fact that we're at very high valuations, record-setting levels, plus, of course, a backup in the bond market, I think urges some caution near-term anyway.
Longer term, you're more bullish. Is that so?
Well, yeah, we are bullish. First of all, some of the policies that seem to be promoted by Mr. Trump could have some real stimulative effects on the economy. Tax cuts, almost all economists believe, could boost GDP. Infrastructure projects as well. I think the big 800-pound gorilla is where does he go in terms of global trade? I think any efforts to pull out of treaties, to put unreasonable tariffs on goods, most economists will tell you, would dampen the economy, and that would be a real negative.
Well, we'll get into that in a little bit more depth, but first, Donald Trump has made many promises about what he'll do, David. He may get his way much of the time since Republicans also will control both branches of Congress. Do you think that's a win for the markets?
Yeah, I think so on balance. I mean, remember, a lot of pundits say gridlock is the answer because nothing gets done and that's positive for the market. We don't have gridlock here. And other strategists say, yeah, and now he'll build a get his policies through. But we are cautioning our clients here that there are really two strands of Republicanism. One is kind of the populist branch that Mr. Trump was so successful with in the election. The other is a very conservative, particularly fiscally conservative, and that would be headed up particularly by Paul Ryan and also Mitch McConnell. So I think that could be some check, some mini gridlock there that I don't think Congress will give an unlimited blank check for Mr. Trump for all sorts of tax cuts and infrastructure spending.
Specifically, what is your view or your investor view on Trump's tax policy, which seems to me basically amounts to sweeping tax cuts?
You know, I think tax cuts are a good thing. I would temper investor enthusiasm by the realization that at the same time they're giving you some tax cuts and simplifying it a little bit, they are chipping away at your deductions. Of course, as your tax rates go down, the value of those deductions are less. So it's not going to be quite as big as I think some investors think. On the other hand, many economists and we also believe that a flatter tax, a tax with less loopholes, less special provisions, can lead to a more efficient economy. And so we like the idea that there's less play on deductions.
David, as you've said, global trade is a big question. Trump has promised to exit trade agreements and impose 45% tariffs on Chinese imports. How should investors play this?
Well, I think they should be extremely skeptical that responsible members of Congress, no matter what their party affiliation, are going to support that with unfettered enthusiasm. So the way we've been playing it, Charlie, is to the extent we're seeing sectors, stocks, and so forth, which seem to be pricing that in such that if in fact it happens, the downside is much less than the potential upside should, I think, saner heads prevail, you can make some money. You know, as a perfect example, many of our auto companies, they're assembled here in the States, but key parts are made south of the border. Well, what are we going to do? Stop the flow of those parts to the U.S. to finalize the assembly of cars? I don't think so.
Turning to regulation, many investors and businesses have been rooting for rules to be streamlined and reduced. A key target is financial services.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a benefit. I think that, you know, to quote Mr. Trump, allow banks to lend again. And I think everyone would agree that in the wake of the 2008 crisis, banks were loaded up with regulations, some of that to make their capital equity more sound made sense. Others became just unreasonable paperwork. And I think most economists would tell you that if you could reduce some of that burden, you'd have a more efficient economy. Now, people on the other hand would say, gee, you know, those were designed to cure some ill, which is likely to be checked. The problem, though, is it doesn't stop the transactions. They just move to a friendlier forum. So, for example, mortgage lending has continued, but they're being done by under-the-radar non-bank banks as the traditional banks were hamstrung. We'd like to see banks be given a fairer shake.
Next, fiscal stimulus. It's widely agreed that infrastructure projects are need to repair roads, bridges, and tunnels. Of course, the question is how to pay for it, especially if President Trump wants big tax cuts.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you maybe have one or the other, but not both. I think the key there is for Mr. Trump to find a way to pay for that infrastructure without burdening excessively the deficit in the nation's long-term debt. One thing that I think may be useful for them to consider is what happened in my home state of New Jersey, where we had a tremendous aging infrastructure problem, already a very high tax burden. And what they did, a gas tax had not been raised for a long period of time, was raised in exchange for some tax reductions elsewhere. And that seemed to be the magic bullet, because the gas tax is as close as you can get to a user fee for the nation's highways and roads. And since the federal gas tax has stayed exactly where it is for the last 23 years, that might be a potential avenue for Mr. Trump to pursue.
David, you said that the near-term outlook for stocks is muted. Are bonds a better bet at this point?
Well, you know, long-term bonds, you do need to be a bit skeptical, because the interest rates are very low, and that's a function of inflation being very low and economic growth being very low. But nevertheless, we have seen such a movement in the 10-year and 30-year in such a short period of time. They're definitely oversold. So this may be a great time to kind of rebalance, take some of your profits from last week, and buy bonds. I wouldn't go very long duration, particularly if you have a lot of stocks in your portfolio, so that you're hedging somewhat long-term interest rate risk. Remember, although, there's all sorts of things that can go wrong. Bonds still serve as a great insurance policy against all the parade of horribles that could happen to the market. The premium for that insurance is very high, but you don't want to go without it.
Well, one thing that could be happening, that a lot of people think could be happening under Trump, is higher inflation.
Well, certainly, to the extent that the federal government really steps up their spending, you have a fixed amount of goods and services. Now you increase demand, prices could well go up. Some reasons why that fear could be checked a little bit is it's a different economy than it was 30 or 40 years ago in a couple ways. One is a big source of inflation is higher wages. But with unions being much less of a power in this economy than it used to be, that's going to check wage inflation. And, of course, global trade. You come back to the fact that if prices start going up here, companies in the last couple decades have been quick to push it over the border to take advantage of lower wages. So those are some reasons why inflation might not be as bad as some people are concerned with now.
Finally, David, what stock sectors are good bets at this point?
you know, longer term, financials and energy. Financials because they have never really recovered from the downturn 2008. I think there'll be a clear beneficiary of less regulation. I think now that we're past the election season, they're not going to be the punching bag they were by both parties pre-election. And finally, of course, higher interest rates mean higher returns on their loans. That's manna for heaven for them. And so I think that's a good area, despite the big run-up last week. I think longer term, very good. And I think energy. We all know you're not buying at the top for energy. There are supply and demand issues, but the fact of the matter is supply has been curtailed dramatically because of the lower prices. And I think as the global economy slowly recovers, that will bring supply and demand more in balance, and we'll see a higher price for commodities, and that's going to benefit energy companies.
And you're also in favor of other sectors such as healthcare, and over the border and across the sea, international looks cheap to you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Just on healthcare, certainly the opposition, who did not win the election, took a much harder line on pricing and healthcare companies. And so to that extent, I think healthcare has a slightly brighter outlook. And prices are well down from summer of 2015. And so certainly international stocks have been hit hard recently by the fears of a global trade war. To the extent I think some of those fears are overblown, they offer good valuations and perhaps nice long-term opportunities.
David Dietz of Point View Wealth Management, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
My pleasure, Charlie.
And that is this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
Share our shows with your friends. Like us at facebook.com/WSJ Podcasts.